So one of the major things that plants do for us as plant parents is help connect us back to nature. I think as plant parents, once we use plants to reconnect with ourselves and make our homes look beautiful, they also get us thinking more about nature and the earth and how important its preservation is. So today's episode is exploring just that, plant parenthood and low-waste living and what it means to make intentional decisions about preserving our planet while taking care of ourselves and our plants. So get excited, plant friends, and welcome to the penultimate episode of Season 5, Episode 110 of
Bloom and Grow Radio.
Hi, plant friends. I hope you've had beautifully planty weeks as per usual. And, you know, if you haven't already, make sure you're subscribed to this podcast. And if you feel moved to, I would be so honored for you to leave us a review. Those 5-star ratings and reviews really help the show grow and reach as many people as possible. And it would just mean the world to me if you took a few minutes and gave me your vote of approval in the podcast player of your choice. Thank you in advance. Speaking of thanks and gratitude and support, I wanted to take a quick second to thank our newest Patreon supporters. Holy moly, there's so many of you. Alana, Hannah Etteridge, Allison, Jennifer Timmons, Alex, Kat Page, Karen Stewart, Amanda Panda, Nadine Thierry. Thank you so much to being the newest Patreon plant friends of Bloom and Grow Radio. For those that don't know, the Bloom and Grow Radio Patreon plant friends support the show monetarily on a monthly basis in order to help us get the show to as many ears and eyeballs of plant parents around the world. So I am forever thankful for your support. And if you're interested in supporting us, check the show notes for more information. Okay, this episode, low waste and plant parenthood. So we're wrapping up the year in this penultimate episode of season 5. And I think we're all really anxiously looking at 2021. I mean, I know I am. I'm ready for 2020 to be gone. And I'm getting excited about the changes that are going to come. This is usually the time to set New Year's resolutions and just think about how we want to show up in 2021 for ourselves. But I think the cool thing about 2020 is that there's been more of a global conversation about how we can show up not only for ourselves, but for those around us, and more importantly, the environment. Now, as I continue to fall deeper in love with plants, I'm finding that I'm falling deeper in love with nature itself and feeling a stronger sense of responsibility to take care of our planet. So I am so excited to welcome Nick Katsumpis of Farmer Nick NYC to the podcast to share this conversation with you and to inform and encourage our community to think about how we can apply these concepts of low waste and plant parenthood living, not only to our lives, but to our hobby of plant care. Nick has been a plant friend of mine for several years now, which you'll learn about on the podcast. And I've really enjoyed learning about sustainability from him. He's really the perfect intersection of plant parent and environmental activist to have on for this chat. And I hope you learn as much from him as I did. So here's how this conversation is going to go. We're going to hear a little overview of Nick and how he became a plant parent and how we became friends. Then he shares two sets of tips for all of us. So there's a section that's general tips for leading a more low-waste lifestyle, just in general on the day-to-day. And then the super interesting part for me was a second set of tips that he gave. We dive in on a deeper level and discuss how we can apply low-waste principles to specifically how we consume and engage with plants and our plant care hobby. It's really a very interesting conversation and has me thinking a lot about many ways in which I can show up better to this. Billy and I are moving next month. I cannot wait to share with you guys where we're moving. It is so freaking exciting. And I'm really excited once we get to our new home to see how we can really start applying some of these principles to our new life together. More on that soon. So without further ado, here is Nick and our low waste chat. Thank you so much to our fabulous episode sponsor, Soul Tech Solutions. Plant friends, if you are looking for a grow light that not only has all the science, but also all the style, you look no further than a Soul Tech Solutions light. Soul Tech Solutions makes luxury, full-spectrum LED grow lights that look sleek and modern in our homes, all while giving our plants that highly precise photosynthetic spectrum and beautifully bright white light to keep our plant babies thriving no matter what the deal is outside, no matter what's going on with the weather. With Soul Tech Solutions, there is no more weird purple lights making your whole apartment look suspicious. So we're in December now. So with the upcoming winter, that means lower light levels and colder months that plants can't live outdoors in. So for many of us, that means that some of our plants might need some supplemental lighting to stay happy. When I made that realization 3 years ago, the 40-watt Aspect Pendant Style Light was the first grow light that I ever brought home. And I've fallen in love with the product so much, I've added two more to my collection. I am obsessed with Soltec Aspect Lights. I hang them in the dark corners of my home, and I make those dark corners highlight real estate for all of my most treasured plants. You'll see them all over my Instagram. And if you're really looking to up your grow light game, you can install their Highland Track Light System, which is their LED grow light track light that's perfect for illuminating green walls, plants that are in hard to reach places, or large plants that need light from the sides. And secret time, plant friends, Soltec is gearing up to launch its first ever grow bulb, like a light bulb that will screw into like a normal light socket, and it's launching later this month. So sign up for their newsletter to make sure you stay up to date on the big release. And in the meantime, if you want to snag yourself an Aspect or a Highland light, you can get 20% off with the code 20BLOOM at SoltecSolutions.com. So once again, that's SoltecSolutions.com and code 20BLOOM at checkout for 20% off. Oh yeah, did I mention these would make the most amazing gift for the holidays if you're still doing a last minute holiday shop? Yeah, they would. So once again, check it out. 20BLOOM for 20% off at SoltecSolutions.com. Do you have upcoming travel to a different country scheduled, or maybe you have a relative or a friend who speaks a different language that you want to connect with on a deeper level? Why not easily learn a new language with my favorite language learning tool, Rosetta Stone? I recently went to Italy and I brushed up on my Italian by using the Rosetta Stone app for like 20 minutes every morning. It was so easy to use. It was part of my morning practice. It was really fun. And let me tell you, Rosetta Stone works. It brushed me up so good. I was getting around Italy easily speaking Italian after putting those reps in. If you don't already know, Rosetta Stone is the trusted language learning tool available on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone has 30 years of experience, millions of users, and 25 languages offered. It makes language learning so fun, so easy, and so fast. It immerses you in the language, which is the fastest way to learn. So it's an intuitive process with no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. It even coaches you on pronunciation with its true accent feature, which is like basically having a physical trainer for your accent. It's so wild. The desktop and app options make it so easy to do consistently, and it's an amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages forever for any and all trips and language needs in your entire life. So this year I brushed up on my Italian, but next year Billy and I want to go to Japan so we could learn conversational Japanese with it. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone has to offer, and right now they're offering 50% off. It's an insane steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Growing Joy with Plants listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life, plant friends. It's an insane deal. Redeem 50% off at Rosetta, R-O-S-E-T-T-A, stone.com/today. Okay, here's Nick. Nick, welcome to Bloom and Grow Radio. I'm so excited to have you after such a long wait.
Yes, thank you for having me. It's been marked on my calendar for years, it seems like.
For 2 years.
I'm super pumped to sit down with you, and you've been one of my best plant friends for quite some time now, so it was long overdue.
Yeah, we met right before I left for cats in 2019, and I feel like we met, got to know each other a little bit, and then I just like dipped for a full year. So it only took a pandemic and you moving to California for us to finally get on the phone for an on-air conversation.
Absolutely. No, whatever the circumstances, we made it happen. So I'm happy to be here today.
Yes. And this topic that we're about to dive into has really been something that's been really on my mind. And I knew you were the perfect person to dive into sustainability and plant parenthood. But before we dive into that, I want our audience to know, who is Farmer Nick and how did you become the plant parent Netflix sensation that you are now?
I don't know about Netflix sensation just yet, but my name is Nick Katsoumpas, Farmer Nick NYC, although now in Los Angeles, and I would consider myself a plant coach and urban farmer whose mission is to give people the knowledge and confidence they need to create their own green spaces in the pursuit of regenerative environmental action. that idea of sustainability and environmentalism is really important to me. And when I first got into plants, I was not into the house plants that you see around me. I grew up in White Plains, New York, not too far from our host here today.
Yeah. Right down the street. Fun fact, Nick and my mom live around the corner from each other.
Yeah, really, really close. Uh-huh. It's a great little suburban neighborhood. And when I graduated from college in 2014, I was very much set up to live this corporate America life. I had a great job lined up at IBM and was going to be living at home, commuting to the city, something that people living in Westchester and places like that are very accustomed to doing, right? Very cookie cutter kind of life there. And my mom suggested, she said, hey, if you're living here rent free, you have to do something around the house. Like, you can't just sit around here all summer. And I was like, well, what do you want me to do? And she said, you have this background in personal training. You were an athlete. You love food and nutrition. Why don't you start a garden? And this was not something I'd ever done before. I had never owned a plant. And I was like, you know what? Great. I love working with my hands. I love being outside. Let's do it. And from the moment I put that first, I think it was a tomato seedling in the ground, I was just obsessed. Like, each season, the garden just kept growing and growing and growing to the point where it wasn't just tomatoes anymore. It was cucumbers, heirloom varieties of squash, corn, sweet potatoes, sunflowers, you name it. I was growing it. And I was just getting so much fulfillment from not just growing the food that I could eat, but being out there in the morning and watering and giving food to my neighbors and seeing their expressions when they were biting into a fresh tomato for the first time. Like, it was incredibly rewarding. And from there, I moved into New York City 3 years later and really went into shock. Like, I all of a sudden am in this literal concrete box and I didn't really know what was going on. Emotionally, I didn't feel the same. Mentally, physically, I just did not feel myself. So I did the only thing that made sense to me at the time, which was buy 1, 2, 87 houseplants. And that was kind of my saving grace there for a while, and developed the skills on the houseplant side as well, and was encouraged by some friends to start an Instagram, which was not my forte, not something I ever wanted to do. But fast forward 2 years later, posting on Instagram, I quit my full-time job working in corporate America and now have my full-time plant business, both on Instagram and just helping people bring green into their homes.
Yes, I have so many thoughts on what you just said, but you transitioned to being a full-time plant coach. You help coach people who want to bring plants into their space on, like, the right plants. That's one side of your business, right?
Yeah.
And then you also have your Instagram account, which has lots of beautiful photos and lots of amazing information. And you were recently on Netflix's The Big Flower Fight. And you are awesome. And I just want to say, I loved the umbrella. And whoever's listening who's watched the show will know what that means. And you should go watch Nick if you haven't. It's the plantiest show out there, I think, right now. Yeah. And it was so fun to watch you and Taylor compete. So congratulations on that.
Thank you, Maria. Appreciate it.
Now, I took a few notes on some of the things you said that I want to go back to. Regenerative environmental action. Can you explain what that means?
Yeah. So for those that are involved in the sustainability space, the word sustainability has kind of gotten, I think, overused in many ways. And everyone says, oh, this is sustainable and this is sustainable. And it's very much an umbrella term for something that we don't truly understand. And one of the big shifts right now, I don't know if you've seen the Kiss the Ground documentary or anything related to soil health, but this idea of regenerative over sustainable is really taking hold. What I mean by that is sustaining what we currently have is not enough. Right? Mm-hmm. Our food system is very much broken. The way we handle the environment is very much broken. And if we are sustaining the broken system, what good does that actually do? So this term regenerative is really important because it's not just about you doing the right thing for your environmental impact, but actually having a net positive impact on the environment. And the best example I can use, one that's very apparent here in Southern California, is lawn space, right? So lawn space, as many people know, require tons of chemicals, and an area like Southern California, which experiences drought most of the year, water usage is big, right? You want to be able to cut that down and save as much water as you can. So the sustainable option would be to say, oh, I'm just going to put some gravel down or artificial turf and maybe some succulents or something like that. And that way I'm not using any water. Fine. That's a good option. But the regenerative option would be, what can I plant that might be native, that might actually enhance the quality of my soil, or something that provides something to my community in terms of nourishment, like a front yard garden, for example. Mm-hmm. So if I were to do that option, I'm actually doing something that's regenerative, putting things back into the earth and taking something that I can then give to my community or give to my family that is beneficial for our health. So I think breaking it down in those different ways is going to expose people to other options that they might not have considered previously.
That's so interesting. So have you seen that tie into like houseplant people?
I don't think it's tied in enough.
Yeah, because I don't necessarily see the connection. I want to see a connection there, but I feel like there can still be a disconnect.
I agree. And it's sort of my philosophy that if I can get you to care about this one little plant on your desk, mm-hmm. I can start to get you to care about the big plant that we all live on. Yeah. And what I mean by that is people need to see it to believe it. And until you've had a plant for the first time and nurtured it, you don't really know what that experience is like. So how are we supposed to, as urban people living in cities, make responsible decisions for our planet when we are so disconnected from the planet we are trying to protect?
Yeah.
And I think having a houseplant will be that first initial bridge that connects the natural world with what we have inside. And I've seen it with my own clients where they might start with 5 houseplants in their apartment. And then they call me and say, hey, Nick, I'd love to grow my own food on my fire escape. Great. And then they see, hey, Nick, I saw you posted something about being low waste or plastic free. Can you tell me more about that? What else can I do? Mm-hmm. And seeing them kind of evolve and level up in those ways, just having started with a houseplant, that's my ultimate goal, right? Move them from the houseplant person over to something that is going to be a little bit more environmental focused. And I think when you've come to some of the potlucks in New York City, you've met people who are houseplant focused, agriculture focused, kind of exposing and cross-pollinating all these ideas so that the houseplant people can say, huh, maybe it's not enough to just have a beautiful bird of paradise in my room. Maybe I should try something else that is going to help protect things like this.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a real example of that in just like wanting to do this episode with you, you know, because I think the sustainable, low waste, zero waste lifestyle hasn't necessarily always appealed to me, or it hasn't been a priority. And as I definitely cultivate my green thumb indoors, that's definitely something that definitely resonates with me personally. And I'm really obsessed with the concept of plant blindness right now. Mm. And I think a lot of what you talk about is like people who are blind to plants, like they have been kind of ingrained to not notice the green life around them and also not recognize that it is living. Like, I think so many of us don't see a tree and like really understand like, oh my God, that thing has been living.
The furniture.
Nature, not furniture. Exactly. Nick is wearing his t-shirt right now. Yeah. And that awakening that I think a lot of people go through with houseplants, like I remember being so blind to whatever plants were in the room. And then once I started caring for plants, all of a sudden, like any room I walked into, the first thing I saw was whatever houseplants were there. And then like noticing the trees on my street and how they grew. Like I lived in an apartment for years and I couldn't have told you the type of tree that was like outside my door that I walked through every day. So it's super interesting. And I love that you're rooted, for lack of a better term, but your mission goes deeper than just curating like an Instagrammable bedroom or shelfie. I think that's really awesome. Zero waste, I think, is super cool. And I've watched a lot of YouTube videos with a lot of different people that like get to say like, my whole year's worth of garbage is in this like one mason jar. And I think personally, a reason why it's been hard for me to kind of lock into this concept is it feels so unattainable. Like, I feel like no matter how many changes I make, I don't even understand how I could get to that kind of lifestyle. And you and I offline have talked a little bit about zero waste versus low waste. So can you kind of go over what these different trends are and for people who are looking to make a better impact on the planet, like how you can kind of work yourself through all of the options that are available to us?
Yeah, I think it's a fabulous question. And just to go back a quick second, I think you're so right when it comes to plant blindness. I think the same applies to waste blindness.
Yeah.
Trash that we see around our space. And when you get a package, you're just, oh, got to take off all this plastic and do this. And you don't even think about it, right?
Totally.
So I think as a society, when we see something that says zero waste, it is very intimidating and it is very overwhelming. And you say, oh, well, I can't be zero waste, so I'm not going to change anything.
Totally.
And that's some of the problems I see with some of these folks on Instagram or whatever platforms, because if it is intimidating, you're not going to reach the person who is too afraid and anxious to make that first step towards a positive impact. So for me, low waste has always been the goal. Even if I strive for zero waste, I recognize that there are certain things in my life and in my business that are inevitable, right? If I'm ordering planters, there's a good chance they're going to be wrapped in something, right? Mm-hmm. And if the client wanted those things, I can suggest a different option that might have better packaging or this, this, or that, but they're the ones who are making those decisions. And I think as a consumer personally, there are very many difficult ways to get around it. But you know, being in the pandemic, ordering things off Amazon, it is tough.
Yeah.
So I think finding ways to be low waste, and when you can't be necessarily zero waste, making sure the products themselves are top quality, sourced sustainably with the right materials so that you can justify and say, you know what, I bought this bed that was covered in plastic when it came to me, but it was made ethically. It was made from responsibly forested wood, and there's no toxic dyes or this, this, or that. That way you can justify and say, okay, it might not have been zero waste, but there's so many other benefits to it, and I'm not going to need to buy a new bed for 20, 30 years because it is really good quality. So there are other factors that we should consider that will not necessarily justify the waste, but really show that there are many other sides to the coin.
Yeah, it's almost like minimalism. Like, I'm going to have three shirts that are going to be expensive and high quality and really nice instead of 40 shirts from Forever 21 or, like, you know, whatever else.
Fast fashion. Exactly.
Fast fashion. Why now more than ever is it important for all of us to wake up when it comes to this?
Yeah. So first of all, I think we've just been asleep for so long.
Yeah.
And I joke that if we want to really solve climate change tomorrow, we would take all of the trash that we send to places like Asia and just dump it in the Hamptons. And they're like, oh my God, what is this? Where did this come from? Like, this is what you just don't see, right?
Yeah.
This is what happens and you've turned a blind eye to it. So I think that for me, this connection with plants is very much tied to environmental movement, and people who care about the environment start buying plants and getting into that, and vice versa. So I think the biggest thing for us right now is to figure out what are those tiny little micro steps, those little tips, whether it's for your own lifestyle or maybe even with your plants, that you can start adopting that they're not going to change your whole carbon footprint, but they're going to make you start thinking about things differently and have you adopt other behaviors that will compound on each other.
Just like the houseplant being the gateway drug to pursuing this a little harder. So you have put together a bunch of tips for us to start low waste in our lives and then low waste, yes, in plant parenthood, because I think we love this houseplant community. The issue of consuming a lot as houseplant parents and ordering a lot of plants. And it's an expensive hobby that requires a lot of ordering online. So I'm excited to talk to you about both of those sets of tips. But before we dive in, like, this episode is meant for the ultimate beginners, and I'll do my part in asking all the questions that everybody's afraid to ask, but, like, no judgment from either of us. Like, Nick and I just want to have this, like, open conversation to get everyone excited and inspired and not intimidated. Like, just, I know personally, I've been for many years. So for us beginners and outside of plant parenthood, like, what are some basic shifts that we can make to start reducing our waste?
Yeah. So the first part is just reuse everything. Literally take a look at something, pick it up. And instead of that Marie Kondo style of, does it bring me joy? And if not, throw it away. Instead saying, what purpose do you have now? And mm-hmm. what functions can you serve later? And one of those things for me that I really love is I got this Therabee blanket, which came...
Oh, the weighted blanket.
It's the best. It's so,
so good.
And so part of their packaging, there was no plastic, which was great. And it had this kind of canvas sack. And I was like, huh, like, I wonder what I could do with this. And I actually took some of the string that it came wrapped in, poked some holes in it, hung it up in my closet, and it is my hamper. Like, I literally take coat, I throw it in there. And not only was that reusing something, but then I didn't have to go out and buy something new, mm-hmm. right? So it saved on two accounts there. So finding ways to reuse within your home, I think, is huge. One of the other tips that I have is, when it comes to packaging specifically, is if you do get packaging, let's say you order something on Amazon or something fragile and it comes wrapped in bubble wrap, I save that stuff like crazy. Like, I just have a box of wrap. A lot of the companies now are having lots of cool alternative types of packaging, whether it's compostable packing peanuts, which are really cool. I know Lush and our friend Stevie has those as well for her lotions. And then there's also these kind of cardboard options. But even if you do get the more traditional bubble wrap or those big air pockets that are so fun to pop, like, resist the urge, take them, throw them in a box. And the next time you need to ship something or ship a plant cutting to one of your friends or something along those lines, you have something instead of having to go out and buy something net new. So I think that's really important.
Before we dive into more tips, I realized, I think, can I have a definition of what is waste? Because you mentioned plastic. So is plastic the biggest thing that we're looking to reduce? Like, what does waste mean?
Man, that's a loaded question, Maria.
Yeah.
My definition of waste is something that will truly end up in a landfill, right?
Okay.
That's the goal to avoid. I know some people have different definitions of it, but for me, it's like, if this does not exists in my house or in some kind of function and ends up in a landfill, I have failed in that way.
Okay.
So if I'm going to limit my waste, I'm going to save things, not in a hoarder kind of way, just enough to keep it clean and simple. But at the same time, trying to find different uses for as many things as possible and give it a new life. Even if it ends up in the landfill in 10 years, it's still 10 years that it served a purpose and I didn't need to get something else. So don't just think in the current moment. It's also in the future moments as well.
A big light bulb moment for me with waste was when New York City rolled out its composting program and we got a composting bin and started composting. And when I started realizing how much food waste was going in our garbage bags that was going into the dump, that was crazy. And it's kind of devastating with COVID that New York has had to, like, kind of cancel. I mean, I think it's still not running anymore. Like, they had to pause the composting system, but that was like a huge realization for me in regards to waste. And then obviously, like, plastic being a big thing. And is plastic so bad because, number one, it ends up in landfills, but number two, I mean, I guess that's also like a big VOC emitting thing, right?
There's a ton of reasons why plastic is tough. I mean, the fact that petroleum is used so much in the production methods. When you get down into microplastics, when you're washing clothes, there are certain materials in your clothing that will be washed away into the waste streams and will end up in the bellies of fish and in our waterways and ecosystems there. Single-use plastics is the thing we think most about. And I think I'm not against buying something that's made of plastic if I can use it forever, right? It's going to be here forever, right? So I might as well use it forever. And if I'm not able to do it, can you buy it from a company that works with a proper recycling agency like TerraCycle, for example, which has partnered many brands to allow you to take Tupperwares or things like that and give them new life, send them back and replace those products and recycle them efficiently? Because believe it or not, we might throw our plastics inside the bin and feel really good about ourselves, but the vast majority of that plastic is not actually recycled. So it may make us feel good in the moment, but doesn't actually have a good impact.
Yeah, like, what's the deal with that? I've heard that a lot of the stuff we think that we are quote unquote recycling isn't actually getting recycled.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on your local community's sort of municipality programs for that, because it's all about organizing, right?
Right.
There are certain labels and numbers that are assigned to those recycled goods that if they're not at the right facilities, they're not going to be properly disposed of or recycled. And one of the things that I really struggle with from a greenwashing perspective, which is when companies will say, oh, look, we're doing this one sustainable thing out of the 99 things that we do that are horrible. Like, one of the things that I see most about, or see most often rather, is the number of compostable plastics. And it's like, oh, don't worry, like, the top of your salad is compostable, so it's all good. But how many people are realizing that, A, it requires a special facility, how many people are actually going to go to that facility versus how many people will just say, oh, I'm done with my salad, throw it in the recycling or throw it in the trash. There's no point in a compostable good if it's not actually getting composted. So that's really important, and understanding if something is truly biodegradable or not versus something that is compostable. I mean, I use this phone case from Pela and I could bury this when I'm done and then it's gone. And that's awesome.
You can like bury it in the ground and it'll just decompose?
Bury it in the ground.
Oh, shout out to Pela case. Yeah. That's awesome.
And it's pretty cool.
That's really cool. And I definitely want to ask you about the brands that you're loving. But I'm not going to ask you to like go deeper down this dive on like actually what can recycle. But do you have resources or books that you would suggest listeners to go check out in this specific thing? Because I feel like for me, I'm like, oh gosh, I got a lot to learn when it comes to this.
Yeah. So not necessarily books, although I probably should brush up on some of the more current processes and stats out there. But Lucy Biggers has been a tremendous influence on me. She's the sustainability sort of reporter and producer at Now This. She's gone to these landfills. She's gone to recycling facilities and shown the behind the scenes. And I think those videos are so productive because they literally show you exactly what's happening. And it's quick content too. So it's pretty enjoyable.
Amazing. Okay. We'll link to her and her work in the show notes. Thank you for that. So sorry, I interrupted you in the midst of your tips with clarifying questions, but you were saying always upcycle. So always try and use what you can and turn it into something else. I love your hamper story. That's awesome. During COVID, I was doing a lot of plant swaps with friends and listeners online. And I was totally doing that, saving my Amazon boxes and the packaging and then reusing them.
Beautiful. So one that we talked about before, which is buying quality versus buying something that you're going to have to replace. And the thinking fast mentality will be, why would I buy the $100 sweater when I can buy the $20 sweater, which looks just as good? And in reality, if you break it down financially, because that's most people's biggest driver, they think things that are sustainable are more expensive, which they are in the short term. But if you have to buy that sweater 10 times over the course of 20 years because it's low quality, it rips, it this or that, versus just keeping that $100 sweater once, you've saved a significant amount of money. So I think taking a moment to reflect on that and say, okay, yes, this is better for me now, but will it be better for me in the future? And is it better for the environment at all? Those are important questions that really give me a moment of pause when I am shopping. And to be honest, and this brings me to my next topic, is I haven't shopped for anything new in over a year.
Really?
Yeah, I have not bought anything net new in, I think, over a year and a half now. I haven't like gone to a mall and like bought myself like a new jacket or anything like that. Everything that I get is thrifted. And that is the best way to do it, because even if you're buying something that isn't necessarily good for the environment when it was made, you're preventing that thing from going to a landfill, and you don't have to buy a new product. Because even if you're buying the most sustainable product in the world, there was still energy required to produce it. There was still resources used, water, all these things, transportation costs to ship it to where you are, right? So buying not new things has become a big sort of tenet of my consumerism. And it's never been easier to do it, whether it's eBay or Facebook groups or Buffalo Exchange, any of these kind of thrift stores. It is really a fantastic way to find some cool new finds. And it's kind of fun to go there and like not know what you're going to get.
My mom, we're currently in the midst of selling my parents' house and they're trying to figure out what to do with their furniture. And my mom was like, Facebook Marketplace, you can get some good deals on Facebook Marketplace in your neighborhood, you know, and you do curbside pickup and it's like super easy. So that's so interesting. Wow. And when it comes to having to get something new, like if you're getting a new bed or if you move and need furniture or like something new, then are you going to companies who use recycled products? Is that the kind of filter you go through?
Not just recycled products, but also just seeing like if they are manufacturing something new, how are they doing it? So the best example is this company called Medley, which makes the most beautiful furniture that I've seen. And it is done in a way that every aspect of the manufacturing process is accounted for. So it's all handmade here in California. It uses FSC certified wood, which is when you go into a forest, you're responsibly harvesting that wood as opposed to just chopping down the whole forest. And there's many sort of restrictions and limitations that they have when sourcing that wood. A lot of their products are made from bamboo, which is one of the more sustainable materials that you can have because it grows like a weed. It's essentially just a grass. And when I spoke with them, they're a family-owned business. And one of the executives of the business said, I'm a mother and I wouldn't want my kids to be on something that was A, harmful for their health, or B, harmful for the environment. And I want to set that standard. So I fell in love with them. Their furniture, again, would fall into that category of like, hey, it's probably pricier than the IKEA, but like, is it going to last forever? And is it a better impact on the environment? The answer is unequivocally yes. So in putting together this sort of what I call the eco-ethical bedroom, the furniture selections were the same. Avocado mattress, same kind of thing. The Kayuchi sheets, all these brands, which I'm happy to send over to you so you can link it out as well. They're doing things so mindfully and with so much thought for the environment, it was hard to not support them.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of reframing that happens in how you show up. It makes me think of like a business that has like a code of ethics or tenants, like core tenants.
Yeah.
You kind of make some core tenants for yourself as a consumer and decide how you want to show up as a consumer, which I think is something that a lot of people very comfortably don't evaluate. Because we don't really have to right now, because you can just like click a button and get whatever you want delivered over to you.
It's so easy. And the pandemic, although I think it's great that people had access to things like Amazon and could order things right to their doors, it's again creating a lot of waste. So I think how we can sort of reframe, as you said, what identities we want to have on that spectrum, because it's not black and white. There's a lot of in between. I mean, this shirt that I'm wearing now is a shirt from Recover Brands. It's a customized shirt, and it's the best customized shirt I could create because it's made of 50% recycled cotton, so cotton that's been upcycled, and then 50% actually recycled plastic water bottles, which is very cool. But is this the most sustainable option? No, because I still use energy to create this shirt, even if it was from materials that had already existed. So you have to kind of pick your battles and realize that you'll never be perfect no matter what.
Yeah. But just think about if everybody in the world takes a step towards being better collectively, like that's a huge impact.
Yeah.
And on the scarier side is if people don't, and that's collectively an even scarier impact, you know?
Yeah. We need a billion people being 10% better, not 10 people being 100% zero
waste. Yeah. Oh, I love that. 10% better. Yeah. And that's achievable. Thank you for sponsoring today's episode, Wally Grow, a returning beloved sponsor who has the most exciting new product launch I can't wait to tell you about today. So Wally Grow is dedicated to making easy, effective, and sustainable plant solutions made from 100% recycled plastic. How perfect for an episode on low waste. So you might have heard me talk about Wally Grow and their Wally Grow Eco Planters because of my epic green wall. You'll actually even hear me talking to Nick about them later in this podcast. But my green wall is made up of the Wally Grow Eco Planters, and I could not be happier with these planters and my green wall. Everything from the fact that they're made of 100% recycled water bottles to how easy they were to install to how freaking happy my plants have been in them for the last 2 years. This year, they released their own hanging planter called The Loop, which I also adore. I adore it so much, they sent me a free one, and I liked it so much that I actually bought a second one. It's a beautifully minimal design that's perfect for that hanging planter look, but it has the ability for full drainage with a no-spill design, and it comes in an awesome variety of colors. Okay, so now that you know about the Wally Grow Eco and Loops, I can tell you about their newest launch, which I'm so excited about, the Wally Kits, which I am now naming a green wall in a box. These things are so smart. So the Wally Kits are packages featuring either the Wally Grow Eco or the Wally Grow Loop planters, but the kits actually include everything you need to plant them up. So the plants and the perfect amount of potting mix and fertilizer. It's literally a one-stop shop for everything you need to create the green wall of your dreams, or maybe even just a beautiful planter or two on your wall because you want that little cascading trailing plant look. all in one Wally kit purchase. So when you order a Wally kit, all you have to do is pick the amount and the color of the Eco or Loop planters and whether you want bushy or trailing plants, and then Wally Grow handles all the rest. They literally just ship it to your door. You can order the whole thing while sitting on your couch. It's freaking genius, and I think it would make an amazing gift. Imagine sending a loved one an entire green wall for the holidays. It's perfect for avoiding in-person shopping during the pandemic this season and makes a great gift, whether it's for a plant friend or, honestly, this kit is so awesome, you should request it for you for the holidays. Because I'm sure we all want to continue greening up our space, but this is kind of the perfect combo of done for you and also DIY, so you can still get your hands a little dirty while planting it up. So, listen in. Wally Grow is offering a discount, but it's only for a limited time. So they're offering our community 15% off any of the Wally plant kits between December 15th and December 29th. So if you're interested in getting this discount, act fast. It's only valid from December 15th to December 29th. It gets you 15% off with the code BLOOM15 at wallygrow.com. So head to wallygrow.com, click the Wally Plant Kits, and then at checkout, use code BLOOM15 for 15% off. You hear that slurping, plant friends? That is me on my dregs of my daily dose of greens, courtesy of today's sponsor, Equilibria. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. I always have loved green juice and greens powders. Obviously, I love plants. I love growing plants. I love eating plants. Plants are good for you. And I have tried most greens powders brands on the market, honestly, at this point. I have to say, I'm really loving the Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens. I might argue it's probably one of the best tasting greens powders I've ever had, and that says a lot because I've tried most of them. The Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens contains an immune antioxidant and detox blend along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. There's no way I'm eating 35 fruits and vegetables throughout the day, but I love that I'm getting little doses and the micronutrients that are in each of the different veggies and fruits, right? Plus, they're certified organic, which I love. A lot of the competitors are not. I just mix one scoop of the greens powder into my water every day, and I'm shocked at how delicious this powder tastes. It's kind of like apple juice. I started back on the greens powder bandwagon because this spring, in this like season of rejuvenation, I'm kind of rejuvenating, doing an overhaul of my health. I've returned to my workout routine. I'm getting in more sleep. I've recommitted to my morning practice, and I've made this Equilibria Nutri-Greens part of that morning practice, drinking the powder in water in the morning. Plus, I love a female-founded company, right? Don't we all? If you want to try this greens powder, Equilibria is hooking you up with 15% off. Head to myeq.com and use code BLOOM for 15% off Equilibria's daily Nutri-Greens and so many other different products on their website. That's myeq.com and use code BLOOM at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. Okay, back to Nick. In the parallels of plant care education, like the difference between a successful plant parent and a plant killer is education and just like understanding how to successfully care for something. And I feel like it's very similar here where you really just need to do a little bit of research, like watch a couple of videos, and then you're not going to be able to kind of unsee what you've seen.
Yeah.
And hopefully change for the better there. So I've heard about this, people thinking they're recycling and not actually recycling and that kind of stuff. So what are the common mistakes that you see people make in the beginning of their low waste journey?
Man, I've made every mistake.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I'm still making a bunch of them.
This is when I think composting is a little bit more complex than mm-hmm. people give it credit for. If you were a professional composter, you'll recognize that there are certain ratios between the brown and the green. Green right. being your food scraps, brown being your yard waste that need to be achieved in order to create the right soil mix. Mm-hmm. I've seen some gardeners where they'll only use their food scraps, and that's good from that food scraps didn't end up in the landfill perspective, but it can alter their soil and can change the way their plants are growing. So that's one mistake I often see. From a low waste side, I see too many people falling victim to like, oh, I have to buy new products that are low waste. And they recycle everything in their home.
Oh, right?
They say, oh, I've got a clean house. I'm going to just get rid of everything and restock it with the right things. And in reality, it should be, okay, let's take a look at those things first. Let's do an audit and see, okay, these 10 things I can keep and repurpose and do something different. Whereas these 10 things, yeah, maybe I might need to replace it. So we get so excited when we want to take on a new project that we very much jump to the consumer side first, as opposed to saying, okay, let's take inventory first, and then I can make some more educated choices.
That is so interesting. Because I definitely feel like in the low waste movement, you see everyone with like all of their bamboo forks and whatever else, but it's not necessarily about having the right thing. It's just about working with what you've got. And just like you said, this might be a weird question, but I've gotten into the practice of this because I had a roommate who told me, but when you do recycle, you have to wash all the containers, right? Like if they're dirty, they're going to be taken off the line.
I don't know the true specifics behind that. It's something my mom always preached when I was little. Uh-huh. If this isn't clean, they're not going to be able to take this and recycle it properly. So I'm always washing my aluminum cans, things like that, that go into the recycling. It's funny, my grocery shopping is actually 100% plastic free. That's the one area where I have truly zero waste. And the aluminum cans are something that I would consider zero waste because aluminum can be recycled properly and it's not a one-time plastic purchase. But if those cans aren't clean, then you're not going to be able to effectively handle that yourself or handle it at the facilities. And one way to get around that is to find bulk stores. I think bulk stores are such a cool way to fill up on items that you might traditionally buy in plastic. Mm-hmm. And I know it's tough during the pandemic, depending on which grocery stores you're going to, they might have shut down their bulk sections, but you can find it, bringing your own jars and everything like that is a great way to limit your waste.
Yeah. So what does that look like for you? 100% zero waste grocery shopping.
I mean, I have a million produce bags. Like these are bags that I've gotten from every event where for some reason over the last 2 years, giving a canvas bag away at an event was like something everyone the had thing. To do. And you end up with a sack of canvas bags. And you're like, how is this sustainable? It's so ironic, right? So I use a lot of those. I'm in the supermarket. I don't buy any of like the clamshells where you're having lettuces wrapped up in there. I'm not buying anything that's in bags. I'm not using the flimsy little plastic bags to take broccoli or limes or throw them in those bags. I have something for every occasion, but it does get tricky, right? And I actually wrote a blog post about this called the sort of produce paralysis, because should I buy the lettuce that came from California, traveled thousands of miles to get here, but it's not in plastic? Or should I buy the lettuce that's in the plastic clamshell from Gotham Greens in Brooklyn?
Right. That's and technically local.
Exactly. You go through these crazy mental exercises in your head trying to figure out which one's better. And ultimately, I go for the one that doesn't have plastic because the plastic will be there forever. But man, if there's a way for these companies to develop new solutions in packaging, which I know they're working on, that aren't plastic based, I think it's going to be a game changer.
Right. Because that's so interesting. Gotham Greens, like amazing company, indoor hydroponic farm in New York City, is doing like pretty cool stuff. But it's interesting that they lose that comparison, like that they lose that argument in your head.
It's really tough.
Yeah. I definitely want to read that produce paralysis blog you've written. And that sounds really interesting. Yeah. Because I definitely use those little plastic produce bags. Do you just eliminate them and just put the broccoli right into your canvas bag and that's it? Or do you bring your own plastic bags that you put the broccoli in?
So this was the time where I think buying a sustainable product would be good. So I bought specific netted canvas bags. The small ones that are great for individual pieces of produce. I'll put those in my cart. And then I have the bigger canvas bags that I got at those events. And those are like my shopping bags.
Got it.
So I don't need the brown ones or anything like that.
And then when it comes to stuff you buy in like boxes, like cereal or like stuff like that, you're doing all bulk.
Yes. It's tough because I want to buy the cereals and things like that. But you open up the cardboard box and then there's
plastic bag inside.
That single-use plastic bag, which I have nightmares of a sea turtle getting its head stuck into, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
So targeting single-use plastics. That sounds like that's the low-hanging fruit for anyone who wants to start.
That's the low-hanging fruit. The easiest way is avoid in the produce section those really thin, flimsy bags. Avoid those at all costs. Get yourself a set of produce bags or reuse some bags that you might have at home and have those be the way to go with your produce especially. But people think, oh, it's going to increase the cost of my produce shopping. These bags weigh like not even an ounce.
Right.
Like, what produce are you buying where an ounce is going to be the difference, right?
So truffles, right?
Yeah. If it's truffles, that's a different story.
Right.
And they appreciate you for it when you go into the store. Mm-hmm. And I think more and more employees and more stores are embracing this and encouraging it within their consumers.
Totally. I mean, Whole Foods gives you
a discount,
dime off or something. Yeah, you get a discount for every canvas bag you bring. So that's really interesting. Are there any hacks, like low waste hacks, that you would recommend people trying?
Low waste hacks.
I know that you always have your mason jar and you always have your forks.
Yes, I'm obsessed with mason jars. I love them. I think they look great for so many reasons. But there's this one brand of salsa that I absolutely love, Green Mountain Gringo, and they have these beautiful mason jars. And it's not just about the mason jar, because oftentimes you may have found if you're trying to scrub the label off of a mason jar, there's some kind of adhesive on there, which really sticks way too much. And you're left with this weird look and it's kind of sticky to the touch. That's not good. But whatever they do on their labels, if you put that mason jar when you're done with the salsa in a pot of warm water for 10 minutes, that label will just come right off and you have a perfectly pristine mason jar for yourself. And I use these for drinking glasses. I use them for storing food. I'll buy the aluminum tops online so I can put those on top or reuse the one that I have. And I also use them for plant propagations. They look gorgeous. And having a stack of those, and maybe there's other mason jars from different companies where I can mix and match with the heights. It looks beautiful, super easy to do. And I carry it around everywhere I go.
I know you're not a coffee drinker, but, and this definitely depends on like the coffee shop, because like Starbucks doesn't do it and that kind of stuff. But do you suggest like bringing mason jars or like reusable cups to those single use plastic moments?
Yeah, I kind of have an emergency cup with me everywhere I go.
Really?
For those reasons. And if it's not a mason jar, it could be a reused plastic cup that I've had for a while or something along those lines. A lot of companies, I know Starbucks in particular, sells their own version of those things, which is fine, right? If you're a frequent Starbucks shopper, that's great. But always ask and never be embarrassed to ask, because I think people get shy and they don't want to be a hassle or something like that. But just put your ego aside and realize, you know, I'm doing this for something greater than myself. I'm going to ask. If they say no, great, I can move on.
Yeah, worst comes to worst is they say no. And then at least you can live with the fact that you tried, you know?
It's a good lesson in rejection.
Absolutely. One of my favorite hacks, and this one of my, an influencer I know, she absolutely influenced me. I saw these on her Instagram and I bought them, but I love drinking through a straw, but I hate plastic straws and I haven't found like a good substitute. And I saw these glass straws. And they're like fully reusable, made of glass. They come with a cleaner. And so those are what I use. And then I don't use straws when I'm out. But the bamboo straws, I feel like never took, because they get really dirty on the inside and then you can't see through them. So you can't really see like how dirty they're getting.
Yeah. And they give you those little pipe cleaner looking washers and everything. The metal straws, glass straws are great. I love throwing those in the dishwasher because it makes it super easy.
Yeah.
So that's a good one. I like that.
I had a bamboo straw and I had the pipe cleaner and I didn't know that I had to clean it. And then I learned that I had to clean it. And I tried to clean it the first time and it was like black on the inside. And it was something I was drinking with all the time. And I was drinking water, but I don't know. I just didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
So I went to clean it and
the this explains cleaner, everything.
I know. I know exactly. That's why I'm a little off, is like I have fungus in my brain from the straw. Yeah. And so after that moment, I was like, I got to go glass. I can't do it. So for people who are going to start using straws, metal or bamboo straws, make sure you clean them and don't be creepy like me. Okay, so zero waste and Planned Parenthood. I think there's lots of opportunity here.
Tons.
And I think you're so uniquely suited to help our community do that, since you have feet in both sides. So first comes first, like everybody who I asked, I told people we were talking and everyone who wrote in wants to know, what do we do about plastic nursery pots?
I know everyone who's listening to this has a stack of them.
Yeah.
Stowed away somewhere, right?
100%.
In their basement, under their deck, wherever it is, you've got them. And I think there are so many unique opportunities to kind of address that and find new ways to bring life to these things that otherwise would just be garbage, right? Mm-hmm. And they're very unavoidable. So a couple different things here. Number one is if you don't want to reuse them yourself, go to a nursery and say, hey, I bought some plants from you before. Do you want these back? And a lot of them will say yes, because it saves them money. And some have programs where even if you're going to a local plant shop, they will take them back for you, which is great. That's low-hanging fruit, number one. Number two is cache. And cacheing your plants is a method where you're going to take a plant that's in a pot and put it inside a larger pot. Usually that larger pot does not have a drainage hole, but we all know that drainage is still very, very important, probably the most important thing in our watering schedules. But doing so and having some pots on hand that if you do need to repot into a nursery pot and then cache into something else is another really easy thing to do.
Is it pronounced cache? Because I've been calling it cache for like 2 years.
I have no idea.
Oh my God. I'm embarrassed.
We need a pronunciation check.
We need a pronunciation check. Well, you know what? None of us are pronouncing plant Latin correctly either. So one of us is right. I'm happy to be wrong, but I've definitely been calling it cash pot. I heard someone call it cash pot. I was like, oh, I guess that's a fancy name for it. I'll be fancy.
That sounds way cooler. Like, oh man, yeah. I cash that plant.
But cachet sounds really fancy too.
I mean, what can I say? I'm a fancy guy.
You're very fancy. Well, that's my favorite recycling is I believe no pot should have no drainage hole. So I think that's a great one.
Well, I'll challenge you on that a little bit, but that's a different conversation maybe.
Okay.
But we cachet, whatever we want with those nursery pots. Getting into more of the advanced things that you can do. One of my tricks, especially for those that like to garden outside as well, one of the things that you think about when you're gardening outside is, oh, I don't need to worry about a drainage tray. It can just filter out. It's on my deck, whatever it is. It's totally fine. But what happens is sometimes there's soil that when you're eventually watering and watering and watering, that soil is eventually going to leak out of that drainage hole as well. Mm-hmm. And a great example is when you pick up a pot that you had in the same spot outside for a long time, and all of a sudden you look and there's this gross, disgusting stain, and oftentimes it's very hard to remove. And the easy solution to this is buying the plastic tarp, right, that goes in the bottom of raised beds and planters, and that prevents the soil from coming out. But we don't want to buy new plastic, especially plastic that is very much single use. It can't be recycled at all. So one of my favorite tricks, which I just posted about last week, is taking the smaller little nursery pots and putting them like a little tent over the drainage.
Oh, yeah. You made an Instagram reel about this.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got so much feedback on it because people are saying, oh my God, that's such a great way to use it. And it's going to function the same as you would if you put that plastic black mat down there. Mm-hmm. And I put it down there. I always put some LECA or hydration stones down there, regardless of whether or not it has a drainage hole, just for increased drainage. And that kind of keeps it in place. And then I add my soil and then I plant my plant. So it's a really good method to preventing that soil from leaking out. You can also do it with your indoor plants as well.
I love that. Yeah, you make like a little house, a little extra little house. These are for like larger, big containers that you're putting larger plants in, right?
I mean, it doesn't even have to be the larger ones, right? You know, if you go out and you buy some small succulents in like the 2-inch planter.
Right, and then you have the little guys.
You can reuse those, no problem. And especially for the smaller nursery pots that I get, which brings me to my next tip is that I'm constantly propagating plants and also germinating seeds. Mm-hmm. So if you have a space where you can kind of, whether it maybe it's a humidity dome or a germination station, whatever it might be, always think about growing something new. And you could literally have an edible garden of greens with the nursery pots that you use for your houseplants. How kind of closed loop is that, right?
It's so fun
to think about. So that's always a good way to reuse them. And then there's a couple interesting companies that have popped up recently about how you can reuse plastic in different ways and mold it into different functional items or even artwork. One of them in particular, which I have not used yet because of the pandemic, but it's called Precious Plastic. And you can bring them plastic that you are worried it won't get recycled, or maybe it's not possible to recycle that plastic. And there's these machines that will break it down and melt it down and be molded into something new. So how cool would it be is to take your 20 plastic nursery pots, go to Precious Plastic, melt it down and turn it into a planter or turn it into a coaster or this or that, right? So it's all about giving new life and being really creative in that process.
That's awesome. I definitely want to hit you up for a list of companies like that that we can put in the show notes for people to check out, because that's so cool. And I know a lot of people in our community are stressed about their plastic pot usage. I also feel like I'm seeing companies that are trying to come up with more biodegradable nursery pots. I definitely think in the next like 10 years, if not hopefully less than that, like five, like I've already seen a few companies that are starting to like ship their houseplants or ship plants in more biodegradable options.
Coconut husks is a good one. I've seen that a couple times.
Who?
Coconut husks.
Oh yeah. Like coir.
Yep.
Yeah. So very interesting. And you had kind of mentioned this before, but propagating plants is a beautiful opportunity to upcycle stuff because you could propagate something in anything. I mean, I've seen people propagating plants in old mason jars, in old salsa jars, like you say, but like truly anything you have lying around that holds water, you can stick a plant and make some new plants for new friends. And a lot of us who are sending plants to friends and sending friends gifts and doing these swaps that I see so many people doing, it makes me so happy to see people connecting that way during the pandemic, but trying to reuse your shipping materials. Mm. Yeah. Folia Collective uses those dissolvable packing peanuts. And the first time I used them, like they ship with the dissolvable packing peanuts and then you're supposed to put them in water and they like turn into soap.
Oh, how cool is that?
So cool.
I got to go visit them. They're in LA, I think.
They're in LA. Yeah. Oh, they're the best. Danae is the best.
I can't wait to go visit. That's going to be so fun.
Yeah. Shout out. So those were your zero waste steps. Any other zero waste steps for plant parenthood?
Here's a big one.
Okay.
This one is more so environmental, but choosing the sustainable soil options. I cannot emphasize that enough.
Uh-huh.
Anyone who's going out there and wants to take care of the environment should not be buying from a company like Miracle-Gro that uses synthetic fertilizers, is owned by Monsanto, a company that's doing not so great things for our farmers and our land, especially in the Midwestern and Southern states where we might not be seeing a lot of that farming and a lot of those processes going on. But really buy from a quality soil provider. I know you and I both love Espoma.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to a company that is doing things the right way, both from an environmental standpoint and a low waste standpoint, because some of their soil bags are also recyclable. Which
Bags are recyclable and their plant is like all solar. They have like amazing commitments to the environment. Their company is awesome.
Yeah. So if anyone is looking for soil, Espoma would be the way to go, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's others that are doing some positive things, but soil is really important to me. And then the last thing here, which I think is going to be tough for some people to hear, but know your plant number. And what I mean by that is, let's say you have 100 plants and you're taking care of those 100 plants. They're all thriving. If you add plant 101 and then the quality of the care suffers for another plant and you start losing plants in your collection, that's not sustainable. And I think that being honest with yourself about, do I have the space? Do I have the time? Do I have the right environment for this?
Mm-hmm.
That is a lesson in sustainability because it's a lesson in restraint. And it's a lesson in taking a step back and saying, I don't need another. Mm-hmm. My number is 100. And your number might be 200, but Sam's number might be 6. And that's fine. So we can't just think about it in terms of what we're buying or what we're doing, also what we're not doing. And sometimes practicing that restraint and knowing your plant number and being really honest about it is the best way to limit waste and also take care of your plants the best way you can.
Oh my God, that's music to my ears. I mean, we just had a whole hour and a half conversation about this on an episode I recently did called How to Manage a Large Plant Collection, because this concept of plant numbers and like your threshold for whatever number that is, and it truly is different for every person. I know people in my community that have 3 plants and 3 is their limit. And they're so happy with 3 and they're getting everything they need out of their plant collection from that 3. And then I also know people that are so happy with like 240 plants. And so I feel like you can't prescribe a number to people, but I think it's so important to have them prescribe it to themselves. And also like the conversation of how we're consuming plants, if we're collecting plants in a healthy way emotionally, and also like if we're collecting plants in a healthy way, if you're getting packages of plants like every day, I don't want to like throw shade. It looks different for everyone. You don't know what each individual person is doing for the environment, but you do have to think about that because a lot of us order plants through the mail, and a lot of plants come packaged not in nice ways, with a lot of plastic and a lot of non-recyclable materials.
Maria, you're going to laugh. I've never ordered a plant by mail.
Have you really? Good never. For you.
For some of those reasons, right? You know, if I can find a local provider that has it, mm-hmm. great. But there's a lot of packaging that goes into it. And there's also, you know, if you're getting some of these rare plants from across the world, right? That's a plane ride.
That's a plane ride.
You know, I've had some people say, oh, but you know, the plane's taking off anyway. I'm like, if everyone had that attitude, then mm-hmm. we wouldn't get anything done from an environmental perspective. So I've never bought a plant that wasn't in person. And I hope to keep it that way.
Well, that's a great tip. I mean, as the world starts opening up again after COVID, and as nurseries, I think we all held our breath for nurseries during COVID. And then it seems like it's worked out for the best with nurseries because people were all looking to grow their own food and everything. But that's a small step someone could take, is just trying to buy plants from their local nurseries instead of ordering. The next time you want to go order something specific, maybe call your local nurseries and see if they have it first and have them put it aside for you and try and do that. And then also, like, you get to know your local nurseries and you get supporting to support local businesses.
Absolutely. Yeah. And mm-hmm. you will be shocked at some of the variety that these businesses have. I mean, I was at a plant shop, a random plant shop, or it's actually more of a garden nursery in Atlanta. Uh-huh. And I'm walking through their greenhouses, most of which were edible, and there's a variegated Monstera just hanging out.
Wow. Did you get it?
No one around. Like, oh, it's been there for weeks. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, there's a lot of hidden gems out there when it comes to the local nurseries and gardens. So cannot stress it enough. Like, really, really do your best to support those small businesses.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome. Are there any planty businesses specifically that you think are killing it when it comes to sustainability commitments and doing all these things that you're mentioning?
Yeah. One of the ones, the shop's actually in New York, Greenery Unlimited. I use them for a lot of my corporate installations, and there's no plastic in their packaging. So like, when they send plants to a job site, it's all wrapped in like this really cool cardboard packaging material. And it's so refreshing. It's so nice. I can take all that. I can easily shred that up and compost it and throw it into my garden, right? There's a lot of positives to that. On a larger scale, it's tough, right? I think the plant industry, as I'm sure you've seen, is an old business. Mm-hmm. A lot of legacy family-owned kind of operations that have not necessarily thought about these things. And I think it would be amazing to see a brand like Costa Farms take a stance on it and say, hey, you know, we're eliminating nursery pots. We're going with this option.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen that at scale yet, whether it's them or The Sill or Bloomscape or one of these bigger companies. It'd be cool to see who kind of takes the baton and takes the lead there in terms of sustainability and the environment.
Yeah. And I think it's coming. I mean, I think especially with hopefully our new administration coming in and the level of importance that sustainability in many different ways, hopefully, will have for our country and the greater world. Also, we've been talking a lot about recycled water bottles. It makes me think of Wally. In my wall, the Wally Grow pockets are all made out of recycled water bottles. I feel like I'm seeing a lot of recycled, like, you've got a Wally Grow too.
We love Wally. Hang it up.
Yeah.
But Wally Grow's another one. I totally slipped my mind there. So thanks for the reminder.
Yeah. But I feel like I'm seeing a lot of different materials all being made out of recycled water bottles. I feel like there's a lot of innovation in that space right now. And I'm really excited to see what the next couple of years look like for that. But also, I also feel like I need to just take your advice you just gave us a few minutes ago and say, okay, stop thinking about the next thing you're going to buy and just deal with what you've got.
Hey, honestly, it's a balance. And if it takes a couple of these new products here and there to get you going and really feel enthusiastic, inspired by it, go for it.
Yeah. I love it. I wanted to hit you up with some listener questions before we wrap. Oh, here was a great one. Can you compost perlite? Because there's perlite in all of our soil, all of our potting mixes.
That is a good question. I believe so. I've actually read a little bit about this. Some people say perlite's actually good for your compost because it's going to aerate a little bit more, and much like it does for your plants, right? It's using the same function. I believe you can, but I know it's not necessarily the greatest thing for the environment. I think the better thing is avoid allowing that perlite to get into your waterways, I think would be big.
Okay.
Because it's a fast track to the ocean. But if you have a compost heap in your backyard and you want to compost your plants there, I think that's a fine place to put it.
Okay, cool. Someone asked, are there alternatives to plastic nursery pots and stickers? So we kind of answered the nursery pot thing, but what about stickers that come on your fruit? Those plastic stickers?
Oh, hold on. Because I have a water bottle I've covered with stickers if you want to see it.
Oh, sure.
Hold on.
You want to go grab it? Okay, cool.
Yeah. All right. So stickers on your produce drive me crazy.
Yeah.
It's something that I think is so unnecessary in today's world. And whenever I do get produce that have stickers on it, I actually take it and I put it on a swell bottle and I'm making art with my swell bottle here. And as you can see, there's a lot of stickers on here. But the best way to avoid that is to shop at your farmer's markets. You will rarely find stickers on your farmer's market produce. And even just reaching out to farms in general and seeing what kind of CSA programs they have. I do a lot of work out here in LA with a company called CropSwap, where you can literally order food directly from farmers. And there's no stickers, there's no wax on your produce. It is as clean as it gets. Obviously, you want to wash it first regardless, but it's a great way to avoid the stickers because stickers drive me crazy. There is a cool company called No Issue, which makes biodegradable mailers. I've sent plants in them before, and they also have biodegradable stickers with soy plant-based inks, which is really, really cool.
Interesting.
So it'd be cool to see if they ever get into the produce space and start working with some of these companies for barcode stickers.
Wow. Yeah. I know when you lived in New York, you loved the Union Square Farmers Market. I love a farmers market. And I'll say, like, the healthiest I've ever been was when I had a CSA. And it was a few years back, there was like a CSA that had a pickup around the corner for me. And you went, you brought your canvas bag. They didn't have bags for you. You show up once a week, you get whatever they're growing. It was the freshest food I ever had. And it really also encouraged me to eat so many more vegetables than I was normally eating. And also like directly supporting local farms. I mean, Absolutely. It's like going CSA is like a win-win situation when you can.
Win-win-win-win.
Yeah, totally. When you can. I understand for some people that's not readily available in their town. And I hope companies like CropSwap make that more accessible and more available. And we'll link to them for sure too in the show notes. But man, I think you've given us so much food for thought. And I'm really excited to personally kind of evaluate where the areas that I can definitely improve. It's interesting. I went from being in a place where I could compost to there's no compost right now in the town that I live. So I'm very curious in my next move to maybe get some compost going and like learning about that. And I really love the commitment to try and shop locally when it comes to plants and support local nurseries. I really love that. So why is this also important to you? And why do you think we should all take one step towards a more low-waste lifestyle?
I think that there is so much, especially in today's world, that is dividing us, the environment being one of those things that can be quite polarizing depending on what views you have. But I think no one can disagree with the fact that we all use nature and derive joy from nature and experience nature. If anyone who goes to a beach, anyone who's ever been on a hike, anyone who uses the ground to produce food knows that nature is important. So it's my belief that I am on this planet to protect the planet. And I think all humans, in essence, should view themselves as stewards of the earth and gardeners. And the earth has given us so many things. They've given us every resource to be successful. And sometimes it doesn't require you to move to a log cabin and adopt the Thoreau lifestyle of being a recluse and off the grid, right? It's not what it has to be. You can live in sync with nature, and it can be done so in a way that does not detract from your lifestyle. And in fact, it can enhance your lifestyle. So giving people those little tips that they can use every single day is really, really important to me.
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, if we as plant people get so much joy out of caring for these plants, it's part of our responsibility as a plant parent to make sure that the outdoor plants, the outdoor world can continue growing.
And these plants grew somewhere. Like they started
grew somewhere
before they were indoors.
Yeah. And you know, there was a big conversation about it with all of the Amazon rainforest burning issues. And I think also these like wildfires in California, like I think people are starting to slowly wake up. But yeah, I think both Nick and I really just want to encourage everyone, especially at the end of 2020, and we're all kind of looking at 2021 and thinking about how excited we all are for 2020 to be over. But what good can we do? What steps can we take to ensure 2021 is going to be kick-ass for ourselves, but also for our world? I mean, everybody should go follow you, Nick, and learn from you. I mean, your Instagram in itself is extremely educational. I loved that reel you mentioned on repurposing your plastic nursery pots. So where can everyone come find you?
Thanks, Maria. It's just Farmer Nick NYC on Instagram. Same thing for the website. If anyone has any questions about their plants, their gardens, their sustainability tips, whatever it is, definitely don't be afraid to shoot me a DM and I'll be happy to help.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for being on the show, Nick.
Thanks, Maria.
I just love Nick. And like I said, he really is the perfect intersection of plant parent and environmental activist to have had this conversation. And like I said, I'm really excited to think about the things we talked about and apply them to my life where it fits in 2021. And it really isn't about making that full shift. It's about making these little shifts that amount to a bigger shift, right? It's all about not getting too intimidated, kind of like growing your collections as well, right? That's a little planty parallel. Make sure to go follow Nick at Farmer Nick NYC and sign up to his newsletter. The link is in the show notes. Thank you so much to our Patreon supporters. Man, oh man, it means so much to me that I have this community of listeners supporting me and the show and helping us bloom and grow as we take Bloom and Grow full time next year, plant friends. We got a lot of plans for 2021, so stay tuned and make sure you're signed up to my newsletter so you get the first inside scoop on some launches we have coming up in January and February. Okay, so about Wally Grow and Soltech together, I adore both of these companies and they're actually a perfect marriage. So I think the most epic gift for a big budget gift would be the 4 set of the Wally kits of the Ecos to make a green wall and then install that Soltech Highland track light shining on the wall. That would be like so epic. Or you could do a Wally kit single loop hanging planter under an aspect light. But anyway, I digress. Thank you so much to Soltech Solutions for supporting the show. They make amazing luxury plant lights that I'm obsessed with. For more information and a discount, head over to soltechsolutions.com and use code 20BLOOM at checkout for 20% off. So once again, that's code 20BLOOM at checkout for 20% off at soltechsolutions.com. And to check out one of those Wally kits that are the entirely done for you packages of the Wally Grow Ecos or the Wally Grow Loops that come with this potting mix and the plants, head to wallygrow.com, click Wally Kits, and use code BLOOM15 for 15% off at checkout. And this is only redeemable from December 15th to December 29th, and it's only applicable to the Wally Kits. So go to wallygrow.com, click Wally Kits, check out all the options, check out all the colors they come in, make your selection, and make sure you redeem that code BLOOM15 between December 15th and 29th. Okay, plant friends, enjoy the holidays. Keep breathing, keep blooming, keep growing. And I'm wishing you just beautifully planty holidays filled with love, light, laughter, and health. And until next time, keep blooming, keep growing. Plant friends, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure you are subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. And while you're making sure you're subscribed, why don't you head on over to the review section of whatever podcast player you're tuning into and leave us a review. I would greatly appreciate it. If you are interested in more fun and educational planty content, well, plant friend, I've got a whole lot for you. Subscribe to the Bloom and Grow YouTube show, which is my YouTube channel where I bring you along for my personal plant journey, as well as share informational content that pairs with our podcast episodes. Follow me at Bloom and Grow Radio on Instagram for behind the scenes sneak peeks at upcoming episodes, my daily planty lessons and thoughts, and most importantly, tune into my Instagram stories where I am constantly talking with you listeners and plant friends and polling you for content ideas, and I'm always interested in seeing what you're loving these days on Instagram. Join the Bloom and Grow mailing list and get a free download of the Molly Mansfield Keep Blooming print that she created exclusively for our community. And if you can, support Bloom and Grow Radio by becoming a plant friend on Patreon. For as little as $4 a month, you not only help me bring these planty and informative episodes to thousands of ears around the world, but you will also get the super secret planty password to our exclusive Bloom and Grow Radio Garden Club Facebook group, which is a wonderfully active group of plant friends of the Bloom and Grow Radio podcast who make up what I like to call the plantiest corner of the internet. It is a lot of fun over there. And as always, my sweet plant friends, I am here for you. If you have ideas for episode topics, guests, or if you're possibly a business interested in sponsoring the show, reach out to me because I am here to help all of you keep blooming and keep growing. Plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible, so I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right house plants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.